One over, channel one over.
This is channel one over, and Suzanne reports on Monday the 6th of July, 1970. This is the beginning of channel one over, and Suzanne reports on Monday the 6th of July, 1970. This is beginning of channel one over, and Suzanne reports on Monday the 6th of July, 1970. Monday the 6th of July, 1970, beginning of channel one over, and Suzanne reports. Suzanne reports on Monday, the 6th of July, 1970, and it's beginning of channel one over.
For the summer? So we said, what the heck, we've been in all morning. Get out of this part, please. You have some lunch? I had an ice cream cone.
I'll just give her something. Don't ask me. You always ask so formal. Ask people if they have lunch. Isn't that awful? Where you been, Suzanne? Where you come from?
Well, I'm from Cocoa.
Cocoa? That sounds like avocado.
He was in his element this weekend.
Huh?
He was just in his element.
What's that?
He's in his element. He took off Friday, and we drove in at about 3:30.
Now, who was in his element?
View.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, they were all sitting out there under the pine trees. They sit out there when it's hot.
Yeah.
Out in lawn chairs. And we drove up, and they squealed, you know, she ran to the gate and opened it. We drove in.
How about that?
Hugs and kisses and all. I swear it doesn't matter if we were home 2 days before, they'd act the same way every time. Just like it was the greatest thing in the world.
Just open the gates.
He sent Nell down to the store to get some steaks for dinner that night. And so we drove down and got some. Came back, had supper and all. Then Sunday, well, Saturday, he and Jim fooled with the car. They washed and waxed his car. They're funny. As soon as they get out and get together, they start working on something, the boat or the car or something. It doesn't matter if it needs anything. They'll just work on it. And then Saturday afternoon, barbecued spare ribs for us, you know. Lightning all over the place, and thunder, and planet rain. Had chased him under the shed, and he just stood out there, you know. Barbecue and spirits. And Barbara and Bob drove in 10:30. Well, that was, he hadn't seen them, well, both of them together in about a year and a half. So that was just their whole thing all over again. We don't have time to eat all the stuff he thinks of for us to eat. He had banana pudding, right? You know, he gets now fixed banana pudding and pound cake. We had watermelon. Plus meals. We had to get all these desserts in, through, you know, between the meals, because right after we ate, we weren't hungry for them. Regular time schedule. Watermelon at 3, and banana pudding right before supper, and then supper.
You just had to work hard to get it all in.
He did.
Now, Bew sets the pace.
He sure does.
It's his money and he wants to...
He wants to spend it.
Spend it.
Make it just 2 cents. I think it's 2. No, I think we ate all the ham up.
Well, let me hear you. How's Jim's sister?
Oh, she's fine. She's bubbling over. She's fine. She laughs all the time.
Oh, she does?
Just laughs and giggles. And Faye was hanging all over, showing her everything that she'd made in the past year and a half. Things Faye makes a lot of things, you know. Hobby crafts. Had to show Barb every one of them, then had to play all the guitar songs she'd learned. And Barbara just go along right with her. Everything Faye wanted to show her, she'd be there. Of course, everybody talks all at once for an hour or so.
Oh, yeah.
They have to get in all information about school and the new apartment and the trip down. They had a new car, so that took up at least half an hour right at the beginning.
But Faye has an audience.
Oh yeah.
So she can just take her time, set her pace.
She waited, I guess, first of all, we got it with oohing all over the car. It's a Porsche. And then we went in, and Jim couldn't wait till Bob saw the thing he had made. I mean, he had a little thing to go on his desk, you know, Robert Carson, Ph.D. So Bob saw that, and he was really kind of touched by it, you know. And Faye had thought up a little thing, and she didn't even frame. She talked it off, says, "We the judge and jury, you know, sentenced you to a lifetime of happiness and all this sort of stuff," and everybody's fine. So we gave that to him, and then we had to sit down and talk about the apartment and how Betty was doing, because they'd stopped there on their way down. And then Faye didn't waste any time at all. She had to go in and show Barbara guitar songs, you know, and Barbara just, you know, went right on with her. No, me, I probably would wait, you know, wait a minute, we'll just go see him later, but Barbara doesn't wait, she just goes right on.
She's ready right then.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. That's not how to put it on. just shift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, she's Jim's sister.
Mm-hmm. Oldest sister. She's
and
the
one that's getting a doctorate, or is
her husband? She has it. Her husband
she
just
has
getting one.
She has a doctorate.
No, she has. And she giggles just like the lady, huh?
Just ready to go.
Well, now, where do you fit in all that?
Just right. As far as I'm concerned. I don't know. Bob came in and hugged me, same as the rest of them. He hadn't even seen me before we were married or anything.
Well, you listen to all the guitar songs too?
Faye didn't play much for me, because Jim and I are home so often, you know, that we hear them. He practices with her and all.
Yeah.
We go to movies together and all. You know, Jim and I go down there, we take Faye with us.
To the movies?
Yeah. We were going to go to the beach.
Huh?
We were going to go to the beach Sunday morning, take Faye over to the beach, but that's when they drove in, so we never made it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, whose idea is it to go to the movies?
Come on.
Smelling sauce do you use when you go?
I've about sworn off it now, I can tell you that. It's about like TV. I used to go with my sister because I knew she'd just dying to go with me. And just the high spots of my life is when my brother would take me to the movies with him. Because he's about 5 years older than me.
Oh, really?
So it was, you know, usually we didn't get along at all. But every once in a while, he'd decide I was his sister and he'd come be nice to me and take me to the movies, you know.
Yeah.
So Cindy and I used to do the same thing.
And he could make it for one afternoon, say.
That was about the extent of an afternoon at the park, the movie or something. The rest of the time, it just... bad news.
Everyone, you'll stop it.
What?
You'll stop it if you raise money.
I wouldn't.
Somebody got to leave the window.
You should have heard. When it rained the other day on Saturday when we were barbecuing, well, the minute it starts thundering, Nell says, "Faye, run in and unplug the TV and the stereo." She unplugs all the electrical appliances when it thunders like this. TV got hit by lightning one time. She didn't want it to happen again. So we all sat out there for a while, and Faye was the first one to chicken out, because it was really lightning pretty close. And then Nell, and then me. And you and Jim just standing out under the pine tree cooking.
Under the pine tree?
Yeah.
That's a regular lighting rod.
Well, they've got two standing right next to the house. I mean, you know. Periodically, Nell will tell Faye to go to the door and tell them to come in or move under the shed or something. They wouldn't do it.
I think it's pretty obvious why Suzanne needs to go to Coco every once in a while. Gets fed and entertained.
Yeah, and then they're getting $40.
You get paid for coming home and having fun.
Yeah. How about that? Paid for a lot of hotel things.
Absolutely.
Paid, entertained, and they don't even wash dishes.
No, I do that. That's part of the fun.
How did that work out?
Well, everybody helps clear the table. And then Nell and I, Faye usually not too fond of dishes, so she kind of skips out as soon as she can. But Nell and I just stay in there and clear up the kitchen and wash. And if I get to the sink first, I'll wash. And if she gets there, she'll wash. And we just talk. Of course, now when her mother comes, then they do the washing and drying and most of the talking. I'm just kind of, I'm the younger member of the family.
You gotta have
tolerated, but.
You have to have prestige to get into the
right.
Standing. Well, now, you're going to miss this sometime.
Yeah. Jim has this, but I think we're going to live in Florida the rest of our lives. He's never lived out of it.
This is all he's ever known.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his daddy have a good time together.
Oh, yeah. Just work around the house or something, talk.
Work on the car.
Yeah.
Make something all the time.
Yeah. And then when Bob got there, of course, they spent about 2 hours out there, first on our car and then on Bob's, just fiddling around with him. Not doing anything to him, just looking, talking about what could be done on him or something like that. I think they do the same thing with the car that the women do with the dishes. It just gives them an opportunity to talk, kind of by themselves, sort of.
You know, it's a lot easier to talk when you're washing dishes than to just sit down and say, now we'll talk a little bit. I mean, well, now, what are you talking about, Suzanne?
First you go through all the questions of what we've done in the last week or two, tests and things like that.
She won't know.
Still in the news.
From your side up here.
Yeah. And then from their side, too. They tell them who's been sick and what the cats have done and things like that. And just get the news report. And then she asks, usually that's about the time you and Jim go off, after about first greetings. We all end up in the kitchen first off, and look at the mail and stuff like that. Then Bew and Jim go off in the living room, usually have a beer. And Nell and I, we get there about supper time and she's fixing it. So she and I talk, and the first thing she asked me is what I've been doing out at the ranch. Of course, that just starts it off. So she gets the local report on that. And from there, you go just about anywhere.
What had the cat been doing?
Oh, cats. One of them, we had two cats. We had one named Barney. He was a little black cat. He's really stupid. He's a tomcat, you know, and just acted like one. And the other one, we named Dum Dum. It's a male cat, too, but we thought she was female. We have never in our lives thought of that cat as a male cat. Just call her she all the time. And can't stop. We say, he's a she. Anyway, so Barney was out in the yard, and some big old gray cat came up and cornered him. Just had him terrified. He was crouching down and just scared to death. He hit at him once. He just kind of lay there. The old gray cat is just getting ready to jump on him, and here comes Dum Dum just charging to the rescue, just spitting and growling, you know. The old gray cat just ducked his tail and ran off. So that tickled Nell a lot. He told it then.
So she looks there, yeah.
Yeah, that's for you. if Jim has to leave Clark, he missed that, won't he? Now, how often does Jim go down there? Every other week?
It depends on how much pressure we have at school. If we, you know, tests and things. If we know pretty good and well, if we've got tests Monday or paper due Monday, we better not go home because it won't get done.
Yeah.
So, generally, we average, I guess, about once every 3 weeks. And we go often if we can.
You wouldn't want to go down there and just work on a paper or a test, would you?
No, you can't. Just too much to do. Just even if it's just talking, you know. Because
yeah.
Nell likes to have somebody talk. She talks to me, you know, just like I'm, you know, married woman and all, talking about her husband and all that. Which she misses with her daughters. Of course, she always used to do it with Barbara and Betty, but they're gone. She doesn't see them as much, and I'm there, and so we talk. Same way I used to do with my mother. But, and Jim just doesn't like to carry any schoolwork home at all, if he can help it. He just doesn't like to. He figures he goes home to relax. He doesn't want to bring schoolwork with him. Sometimes I do, just simply because I have to.
Well, now, what do you pick up, would you say? Do you pick up a little something down there?
Well.
Just family weekend?
Well, it's relaxing for me. I mean, it's just... Well, I know darn good and well why I like it. It's not only that they like me. It's just the first time we ever went to dinner before Jim and I had just been out, oh, maybe going 4 or 5 times, and he invited me over to dinner one night. And it's just like, you know, that if Jim liked me, that was all they needed to know. And they'd like me too. And his father sits there at the end of the table and putting stuff on my plate, you know. She makes the best food, the best biscuits, you know. I sit there, I eat about 4 of them at a meal. He keeps giving me more.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Just about every meal. Biscuits or cornbread.
You weren't brought up on biscuits.
No, our biscuits, it was just something, you know, it's really nice, extra special to have. No, thank
you. That's a good one. It's a homemade one.
Biscuits and muffins and rolls. But we didn't have them every night. And she has them just about every meal. Well, every evening.
Yeah. How does she do this?
She measures the fly, and the rest is just by instinct, I think.
Yeah.
She said her mother doesn't even measure the fly. She just dumps it in there and puts everything together and comes out with good biscuits.
Yeah.
Now comes out with good ones, but she says she measures the flour. I've never seen her measure it.
Yeah.
She says she does, but I don't think she does. This is like her tea. She makes tea every night. She doesn't measure that, really. She just knows what she puts in it and how much. It comes out good.
Well, now, she doesn't work.
No.
He was the only waiter in there.
Nell never has. They got married when she was 16. And I think they had a baby the year after. And Bue's just been in manual labor all his life until, you know, the last couple of years. He's kind of a supervisor out there, but it's still physical, pretty much. But Nell's just always been in the house because Bue, well, she said Bue kind of thinks that's her place, that she doesn't need a lot of outside interest. You know, the family's enough. It's like he doesn't go out looking for things too much. Fishing every once in a while or hunting. But mostly just around the house and the family. She says sometimes she gets, you know, runs out of things to do. So she goes to, church circle meetings and helped out in the Bible school this summer. She likes doing things like that. Well, she says it just, you know, sometimes housework keeps you pretty busy, she said. You know, when it's full time, you've got kids to raise and all. She said, but sometimes you need to get out of the house. And so most of her outside activities just center around the church, as far as it goes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Bue doesn't go, but she'll go, she'd say. Bue doesn't go to church. He got... I think he got converted out in Texas somewhere, but I think he just got converted and never went to church. He never went before, and I guess sometimes it happens you get scared or something, or something scares you, and you decide, well, it's about time you made a change in your life. So he joined the church, but he doesn't go.
Well, has Nell talked about the church?
Yeah, to me. She just say what they've done. She doesn't talk about it very much. She brought out, she had, let's see, 8-year-olds, 8 and 9-year-olds. She said she was amazed at what they learned with teaching them in Bible school. They had a lot of questions on the Old Testament, like what's the first book and the last book, and how many books of poetry and how many books of wisdom and stuff like that. Just a sheet. And it's pretty, you know, Baptist. They have a little book, you know, all the questions and answers there. Training you. She says the church is looking for a preacher. The one they have is old. He's retiring. Been semi-retired and just preaches every once in a while. I went one Sunday with her. Jim and I did. And he was the one about, it was around New Year's or something. He's talking about taking inventory, you know, how businesses take inventory, you know, and people ought to, too. She came out and she said, well, that's a real good sermon. I don't think they think about the sermon too much. It's just, if it kind of goes along with what they think a sermon's supposed to sound like, well, it's a good sermon. It's hard. She doesn't talk about it very much. And Faye, since she's been going to GA, says a longer prayer at the table at night. She used to say, Buzz, thank you for this food, amen, and that was it. But now she says, you know, thank you for this food and for us being together and help the missionaries, amen.
How old is Faye now?
She's 13. 5'9", just horribly ashamed of it. Just kills her being that tall. She's taller than anybody in her class. She's got long, slender bones, you know, just long hands. She's just tall. She wears a 5'9" shoe, and that's worse than being 5'9", having a 5'9" shoe.
Well, just so she doesn't hump, she ought to be proud of it.
Well, that's what Barbara came in, did Worldsboro just in a few minutes, said that she knew her office mate was 5'11", and slender, and just look tall and just look absolutely beautiful. Well, of course, Faye, just the world's far, and she had to show Barbara how she'd learned to fix her hair, you know, putting it up on her head. Says it makes me look taller, but Barbara said it makes you look awful old, you know, older, more mature.
That's what she
Of course, Bob came and told her how nice she looked tonight. She's crazy about him.
Yeah.
He's got a beard. Just dying. I think she would have died if he'd shaved that beard off before they got home. She just kind of sits there and looks at him. You know, when he's not watching. Just in love with him.
Does she talk all the time?
Oh, yeah. Talks a lot. She's got all sorts of stories to tell, and she tells jokes and what she's done at school.
He's the only one at home.
Yes.
One brother, two sisters. That's four.
She's just crazy about Barb and Dave. Well, all of them, actually. I guess maybe because they're so much older than her.
Well, see now, what'll this do to Suzanne? It's spoiled, won't it? She'll never be an F-eat snob.
I was thinking about families. Now, you say Jim's father and mother, you know, weren't formally educated, and yet all the children seem to, you know, get degrees and things.
All but Faye.
She could
absolutely care less about reading. She just will not read. She will not read a book unless it's required for a book report, and she can't stand school. She gets paid for grades. She gets $1 for A's and 50 cents for B's and a quarter for C's and nothing for D's, which she made one last time. She just, you know, she doesn't care about school. And I think probably part of it is because they're always telling her, you know, how great Barbara is. Barbara is the star of the family. I mean, she had to work, but she, like, made A's. I think she made one B in her entire college career. Just determined and brilliant.
Close to that.
Yeah. Well, Betty came along right after, 2 years later. And she tried just as hard, but it was harder for Betty. Evidently, she probably just wasn't quite as smart as Barbara. She made A's too. But it was nerve-wracking for her, kind of. She's the one who always gets all the migraine headaches. She's inherited all the bad traits in the family. Physical traits, you know. She's had trouble with the blood disease, and one of her children is encephalitis, or not encephalitis, mm-hmm. Water on the brain, hydrocephalus. Just everything happens to her.
Now, who is Betty?
She's the second daughter. She's,
well, there are three girls.
Yeah.
Two boys and three girls.
No. Barbara, oh. Betty.
I see.
Jim and Faye.
And then, oh, there's not another boy.
Right.
I see. Just one boy.
But anyway, so she made A's, two A's and B's through high school, and she was trained to be a nurse. And then Jim comes along, and he did real well, too, but he doesn't read reading like I do. He reads things he's interested in, like poetry and wildlife. Right, yeah. That's what he reads for. And then Faye comes along after all these people who make A's and B's in high school, and she just doesn't want to have anything to do with it.
I don't blame her.
She just gets so much of it. She just
make a musician.
Yeah. She said she gets through high school. She's plenty for her.
Yeah.
Was it the family's ambition that the children, you know, do that, or did they just want to?
The only thing I can figure out, when Bew was a boy, he was the youngest in the family. I think there were five brothers. And he was born when his mother was about 40 or so, and he kind of spoiled. They say he was spoiled. Came out pretty good, I think. But he read all the time. And he just would go to the store and buy secondhand books and stuff. Until he got married and had the first baby, and then he just didn't have time. And I don't know quite as much about Nell's background, but I imagine her father reads all the time. just all the time. But his is mostly reading and stocks and business, things like that, information. But Nell reads a little bit, not very much now. And I guess Barbara started out in most English majors just liking to read. And he just, you know, they encourage them. And just, you know, just proud of them for any of their accomplishments. It doesn't matter what, they're just proud of them. And that could do, that does world for anybody to have somebody be proud of them. And Barbara just kind of set the pace and the rest just followed along.
And that was, she set the pace all through high school, I guess. Yeah.
Well, it was bad on Betty because all the teachers knew Barbara and how well she'd done. Well, of course, expecting the same thing from Betty. Betty didn't seem to mind. I mean, she tried hard too, but things like tests, she'd be sick at her stomach the night before worrying about them.
Yeah. It was just hard on her.
Yeah. Just trying to be as good as your older sister. Faye won't do it. She didn't get sick about tests. She just don't worry about them. She's smart. But they get on the face sometimes about her. Her mother's told her about that D just wasn't worth it, you know, that she could have done better. She just worked a little harder.
You see, we've got a comfortable family like this. And we could, as I think about it now, we were all together a lot. And it's be real, as I think about it now, it'd be real easy just to be so lost in that family.
Oh, yeah.
In the bosom of the family.
It used to be.
Because you didn't have to have, you know, everything was just so wonderful.
Yes, that's right. Yes, you don't want to live in it 7 days a week. Naturally. But it'll be nice. Yes. Anytime.
You just know it's there.
Of course.
It's not even my family. Or wasn't. But, I mean, it is now. I'll never be out of it, I don't think. And I said, you know, sometimes I wish Jim could feel that way about my family, but of course he hadn't had the opportunity to meet him. And it's not the same anyway. I know that.
Thoreau was wrapped up in his family and Whitman was. And, yeah. I've been wrapped up in no telling how many families. Never had my own. Exactly. I had my own family, but I wasn't brought up with.
But Bill, when he gets his family around him, he is just, that's all he wants. Just to have his family there. Bits and pieces, maybe, but at least some of them.
Yeah. Now you see, he knows, yeah, so that's remarkable, isn't it? He knows what pleases him. They can listen to the
6 hour
news and it won't flinch.
Talking about it a little bit, but they don't bother them a whole lot.
They got a little cushion in news.
They don't, maybe they don't have to look at a certain kind of reality. And you got a cushion. Yeah.
Well, the latest thing about Cambodia, I mean, Bew takes it, you know, he listens to the talks now, you know, he's pretty observant. He could see in that press interview that Nixon had with the three men, he could see Nixon dodging from the question, just looking for a way out of having to give a straight answer. But he has a pretty solid faith that Nixon is at least doing the best he knows. And, you know, he might not think it's the best thing, but he figures as long as the president's doing his best, well, still okay.
And if the president doesn't have control of ATW, no one else does either, so.
He's taken to playing the stock markets lately. He got that from Nell's father. He's been in it. And Bew figured the stock was so far down, it wouldn't go much further, so he got in it. Well, it's kept going down, but he's not too worried. He figures that, well, it'll go back up again eventually. He doesn't worry about it. Nell does.
Yeah.
She frets about it because he keeps putting money in it. You know. She doesn't like
good
it.
Dollars to cheese bad dollars.
He explained to her how you can make money, something called buying stock short, and then if the stock went down, you'd make money on it. Well, Nell didn't follow it, but he's firmly convinced you can make money that way. Nell listens, you know, but she doesn't believe it. She'd be just happy to have that money in the bank, just keep it there.
Well, now, Suzanne doesn't use any of that. She doesn't handle it.
What she sees in Zanna. And there's so much interest in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You may not be able to unless you're out, unless you're away and look at it back. How close do you have? Can you be to a thing to see?
Well, you can use it. You might have to, you know, whether it's close or not close. You can use it. You don't use it at all?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by use it. No, I guess I don't, really.
Well, I'm not terribly sure either. I don't know. I don't know how to say it. Are you using the right word or not?
I can, in a way, I can see them, you know, from an outside point of view, so, but. I guess I don't use it.
Cookie has changed my ideas about almost everything. Just, you know, been close enough to him to see talking. But I get most of my information from Cookie about his reporting. He's talking. He's talking. And, of course, they all talk to him. They report. Sure, they tell you. They report from all that goes on in school.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the same in the place.
Yeah.
Except, I can see, I use that information in that I can see so many of my blunders. What I have expected people to do is they never did, and it disappointed me. I was puzzled. They do what I expected them to do. One very small thing, you see. Like you said, every time you see, he says, I'll be out that night. And bring that battery out that night. Well, I would hold him good. Anyway, you know, privately. But I don't do that anymore. I know that's just a matter of speaking. He'd come if he could. He will come if he can. Well, you say that you have a long way around Mulberry, just to learn so little. Well, I realize that, but that's just a call. In other words, I can deal with all those mechanics that you've got up. And it's just because you see Cookie taking the trouble to hang around, and he saw it from Pegasus. And I've dealt with, of course, other mechanics, but I've never really, you know, got that much time. I can tell them they let me down.
Like that, but
I don't actually know what's going on.
Well, one thing I've noticed, I see changes that have occurred in me by seeing them, changes in the way I think about things, you know. Maybe this trust in the institutions that they are. I mean, I just still have it a lot, but I don't have it to the extent they do anymore. And I have to be kind of careful, you know, what I say down there sometimes, because they were all watching this Celebrate America thing on TV Saturday. And after that religion course I had, I just couldn't take that. To me, it was disgusting. The people who get down there, to me, just pat each other on the back. For them, it's a patriotic celebration, and they're just really blameless there, and that's, you know, God and country. And to them, that's just part of their life. But to me, after reading Peter Berger, I see his role playing and group reference and stuff like that, and I just, you know, it's not quite as open-minded about it or something.
What's role playing?
Oh, it's like you're a college student, so you start acting like you think college students are supposed to act. Like kids get freshmen get in there in the dorm, you know, and immediately start using curse words and all because they think it's grown up to do it, and college students should sound sophisticated, and they're going to sound sophisticated so they use that kind of language. It was kind of funny in our dorm because Don and Shirley and Joanne were all Catholics, and they say God, you know, all the time, just constantly. But the girl down the hall was Southern Baptist, and she'd say Jesus instead of saying God. And they got on to her about that. They just couldn't stand her saying Jesus. It was sacrilegious. I started to say something about it, I'd be well. You know, if they can't see it, tell them, that, you know, show them that God and Jesus aren't that far apart, you know. But to them, God was okay. But to say in Jesus, it's just, well, that's terrible.
Well, now, what's that got to do with the morning role playing?
Well, not much. But it's just that Susan sees it in graduate school. You get students in there, they're graduate students, so they start acting like a. She said you'd get a group of them in a class to just have to pick at everything anybody else says. They just, you know, to show how intelligent they are. They can't act like human beings to each other. They have to act like graduate students.
And the bomb said that?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Huh?
Sometimes I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't go back to school this fall. She is just sick of it. Said she can't imagine. She used to think graduate school was going to be fun. She said the only fun I get out of it now is reading stuff on my own. You know, she's laughing all the time, you know, but it just makes her sick getting those classes sometimes.
Okay. I mean the class, I mean
Oh, the whole picky business of it, she said. Just
what case did she get?
Well, this last class she was in mainly. Dr. Liska. And she said you can learn just what a professor wants. You know, what's gonna make him feel good, what's gonna feed his ego, what he wants in papers. You can learn, you know, when to, you know, when it's okay for you to criticize other people, you know, to show that you're really on the ball. She said it just gets to be a big game sometimes, that she can do just fine as long as you're willing to play up to the teacher.
Well, I don't care about the professor. I'm thinking about those priests, like playing up, like she wouldn't give you the details.
Well, I can't think of one right offhand. She told one of the girls has taken a course, and she told the girl just exactly how you can get a good grade on the paper. Organization. The teacher wants you to be original, but he just seen you were well organized as original. If you're not well organized, he doesn't care if you're original, she said. So just be well organized, and you'll do okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, you learned that way back. Oh,
yeah. Anybody knows that.
You don't have to put it together again. Mm-hmm. You let Goodman go.
I think, yeah. Right. I think it's because she's been in, you know, 6 years almost, that it just seems worse than it did as an undergrad. She said it's just one class she had. She said she didn't really learn very much about Shakespeare because she knew just what the teacher wanted. He wanted, he wanted to run the class a certain way, and he didn't want anybody to think of it in any other way. And as long as you did just exactly what he wanted and the way he wanted information about Shakespeare and all, then you were okay. But, you know, just...
How do you want to run it?
Well, I haven't had him. He wanted... She didn't go into it very much. She just said that he had his own ideas about how Shakespeare should be taught, and he didn't want any other ideas about it. You know, just... And if you went along with that, you were okay in the class.
You didn't see that little letter I wrote for you in the graduate school.
No.
You never got there. I've got a draft on it. It's a rough draft. I told Miss Marsh that I told you to be a graduate. No trouble is, I didn't want to grab a rough to do to you.
Poor Susan, she told me that she said she would just love to be able to have time to do what she wanted to for once, instead of having to do what needed to be done all the time. She'd just love to have some time to herself, you know. It's really getting to her, I think. She says, it's going to get to you too, you just wait.
No.
I said, not me, I'll cry and go home.
I think Susan doesn't kind, doesn't she?
I think Suzanne's take it. She can peel off what she doesn't need.
Suzanne's creates her own compulsion. Let me tell you, Susan, she did such a remarkable thing in that little writing class for me. That's the only way I'll ever know her or think of her, you know. Oh, that was just gifted, and she did it with such ease. And if she had just stopped right then.
She told me that. She said the first paper about Louisiana was just accident, sort of, getting just what she wanted. But she said, well, that's what she said. She said the reason she'd done it was because she'd already had her mind, when she went to Louisiana, she wanted to know what her family was like, so she'd been looking.
Yeah.
And that's why she said that it was so easy the first time.
No, but she had Ms. Rollins to go by, you see.
Yeah,
and
right.
And work it out.
But she said catching on that fast was That's what she said, was an accident.
Well, yes. Well, they just came together.
But she told me that riding like that would be a full-time job. She knows it. She says that you have to do that and nothing else. She said you can't have go to classes and stuff and do it. You have to be able to devote all the time it takes to it. She said, I just don't have the time.
I think Stacy's already
had to do just a little. Well, this is on break, you know. She didn't have her air conditioner in her trailer, and they were digging the septic tank, so things are looking kind of back.
All you have to do is just live it, you know. That's just the big part of the thing. Live it. That's it.
I'll tell you a little something. It might be all right here. Talking about using. You know, we take our families for granted, and the good times, and the love, and everything. And when the children were here last time, well, when the little Berks were here, say, and then also the little Hurleys, I was sort of busy, you know, keeping food and playing a little bit with the children, things like that. But after they left, I spent a good deal of time just looking at them and writing, putting it down. And this was almost as much fun as a visit. And I just thought, well, I'll do this as to see how it works.
Okay.
Well, Curtis's first ride on the horse. And you know, he, as long as he'd been born, I knew he'd been waiting to come down here and ride that horse. He'd heard the bigger little Hurleys talk about coming and riding the horses, and he got here, and it was a real ceremony going over in that field and getting Snoopy. He claims Snoopy is his horse, and as when he was and he. Saw them in the far passage over there, and he said, she's waiting for me. And we went over, and he was very quiet, and I got the horse and brought her up, and he patted her on her pink nose so she'd know him. And he talked to her all the way across the pasture. He liked white horses, he liked big horses, but she walked too fast. So she nudged him on the head. Talked to her all the way and came over here. And he had been told not to get behind a horse. So he stood in the tack room door. And I showed him the bit. And he stuck his head down and looked up. And he said, but it won't hurt her. And I can see him now, you know, with that little white head. And then I put the saddle on, and he said, let me fix the foot things. At the time, I didn't think anything about it. And later I said, but I said to him, these are stirrups. He said, no, they're foot things. So he went over and he changed the stirrups up to the way they want. Then he went back and stood in the door because he didn't want to get in the way. All the time he talked to the horse. And finally, then, when I let him lead the horse out, and as I lifted him in the saddle, he caught his breath. It way down to his toenails, and I can hear him right now. And he sat up there, and he straightened himself up, and he leaned back, and he took the rein in his hand, and I said, you know, go that way if you want to turn your rein. This way, and he practiced a little bit, put his other hand on the horn, and he said, it feels good up here. And this was the great moment. And as we moved off down, it was sunset, almost sunset, as we moved off down the lane, you know, he drew his breath in again, and he said, I'm a knight on a white horse. With a shining, shining.
Jim's little voice trailed off.
And you know, I didn't see that until I put it down. And that's exactly the way it happened.
They use it, Nothing comes to life unless you use it.
Mm-hmm.
You going to listen, or are you going to...
I don't know. I have to leave at 4.
4?
Got a short tape.
She going to ride. I see what she wants.
I'll tell you, one of the things, though, what made me think of that was Susan. I can't do what Susan can do, and I can't do what you can do. I don't try. But I do know that if you look at something like that, every day, a little discipline, it'll get easier and easier.
Well, that 3 hours coming back from Cocoa at night, that's all I do.
You had a tape.
Did it work?
Yeah, but it doesn't come out. It's like the other morning, we sleep back in that cottage, which is kind of back from the house. And it's just still kind of dark, just before it starts to get light. And some bird got that. He was the first one. He just let out with just a real short call, you know, but just as loud and clear, you know. And then there's just silence, and all the other birds started. It's just like they've been waiting for him. But anyway, there I can't sleep late in the morning, so I wake up and I think about that Hamlet and the language you use, and I had that all worked out in my head, and just thinking about, you know, I go for a half an hour, an hour like that, but then once it comes to write it down or something, it just seems like it's not there anymore.
Facilitate and write it down, just tell them to practice. And, you know, with a light touch, without effort, you know, you try it, not, you don't get into practice, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
And that's the only thing I've ever learned to do. I can knock it off, you know, make it look fairly.
With me, it's almost like trying a language. It's awfully hard for me. Now, I was in France with Guy, and he said, you can't talk unless you speak French. Well, this, I thought, would tie my tongue. But, you know, it's true. You make yourself do it.
Start with.
Uh-huh. Start with. And then it works. But you go a week without doing it.
Yeah.
And it's off. And your mind, and all you do is swing in the bosom of the family. That's right.
Yeah.
And you don't see them.
Yeah.
She'll write us a page on the family. But not the trouble of dying.
Yes, that's right. You just rough it out, you know. You just rough it out, you know. You she can do that. You rough it out. And now if you want to touch it up, you have to wait until next time. You know, until after it gets out of your mind, then you just come back and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that with tea. I just send my first rough sheet and then another one that kind of adds a little bit of sheet. But without any good effort. To get her to do it, she won't do it. She won't touch it up. You see, you touch it up, you do it with great ease. You've already got it in your mind. You see. And if you give it a light touch and move, keep moving. You see, it's got to move. You can't think hard, struggle with it, and make it readable.
Well, that's what I end up doing.
Yeah.
Worrying about how it's going to turn out.
And then you spend a whole year on one little square, you see.
Yeah.
And another thing that defeats the whole business is to try to include everything, as you so well know.
Oh, she knows.
You know all those things better than I do.
Yes, she knows all those things. gunner.
Changes your whole attitude.
Say, I've got to go use the phone.
Yeah. You left. Suzanne sat around a little while, and she said, "You know, I know I'm not going to get anywhere unless I come out here, and unless I get something definite going." And I said, "Yeah, I think that's right." She said, "I don't know why I have to get organized." And I said, "Well, I guess we all do." She said, "Do you know this is the only time I'm even approaching getting mental when I come out here?" And I said, "Yeah, and you wouldn't do that if somebody didn't prod you." And she laughed. And then she said, "Now why can't I just go home to the typewriter and sit down and write something up about this last weekend?" I said, "Well, you can." She said, well, she would. And I said, "All right. Not only just about last weekend, but do something every day." And I said, I try to do a little something. She said she'd like to work in something that along with a guy that he's interested in, so she could talk. And she would like to learn to make a tape. And I said, "Well, now you just put your mind to it and see what you can do." And I told her it was Miss Daisy around here, and she could get up somebody of her own. And she kept saying that she'd like to work, maybe if we had been working with Miss Daisy or with Miss Patterson. I said, "Well, you just think about it." She said, "Well, she wasn't very original." I said, "Yes, but you can think, and that's just pure laziness when you don't." And she just laughed. She said she's going home and write up something. I said, "All right, I believe it when I see it."
Well, that's the end of that nice little tape and little vivid. Suzanne, she hasn't accomplished a thing all summer. Certainly not out here. Face up the other day. Why don't we just let her come in and report? I hadn't thought about that. And see what's on her mind. Well, she told what's on her mind. And that's the end of this little Suzanne tape. Channel one over. That's this whole side. Channel one over. Monday the 6th of July 1970. Monday, the 6th of July, 1970, middle of the afternoon, just before shower.